looking for an apartment sucks wherever you live. People in New York will say, oh, it's so hard to find an apartment here. It's hard to find an apartment anywhere. It stinks. You have your mandatories. You have the things that you won't compromise on. You have the things that you don't care about. Like, let's say, oh, dishwasher. I need a dishwasher. I need a dishwasher. I can't live without a dishwasher. I don't care if I don't have a washer and dryer. Some people feel the exact opposite. Some people don't need any amenities. Some people need an elevator. Some people don't.
That's so beautiful. We all need different things. And that's why Apartments.com has an app where you can literally use it to tell it what you need and what you don't need. And it tells you, oh, apartments. Here's some.
So instead of looking through every single rental listing you possibly can in the neighborhoods you want, you set and forget, like in that old rotisserie grill ad, you set and forget what you want, and Apartments.com will let you know when an apartment that matches what you want appears on the market.
From pet-friendly apartments to balconies to in-unit ACs, Apartments.com's powerful search tools let you know when the perfect combination of features you're seeking are listed. So you don't have to power through rental descriptions one by one. With more rental listings than anywhere else, Apartments.com's instant alerts mean you can spend less time online looking for the perfect place and more time doing you.
Apartments.com, the place to find a place.
You will dream it.
Famous. Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And there are three, these are the trending topics for today.
Yeah.
Lindsay and I have the same three, but she hasn't clicked them the way I have. And I was like, don't click, like,
okay,
don't.
Fine. Okay.
Try to figure out what these things are. Okay, I'm going to start from the bottom and move up. Okay. So I have number three is Maude.
And I have like, that too.
Maude is... That Maude like the Bea Arthur show, or is it something like the teens are into?
It is.
It's Maude like the Bea Arthur show, which I appreciate. April 22nd was the anniversary of the finale of Maude.
Don't forget, these are for us. These trends are for us. So just like,
this
they,
is embarrassing.
Yeah. Wait, but a lot of people are also tweeting about Euphronia.
It's the same thing as Clarissa. I clicked Clarissa and I was like, is this like a
Clarissa explains it all? Is it?
And of course you get into the thing where half of the immediate top tweets are like, when you click Clarissa expecting Clarissa explains it all and it's not. And then everyone's mad that it's not, but they aren't explaining what it is.
Wait, it's a meme?
So it's a meme.
It's a meme with like women? Old,
like Victorian women. And it's like, which bitch are you? Imogen, Clarissa, Faye, Fanny, Eliza,
and
or Maude?
Oh, so it's not even Maude the TV
show. But Maude's both. So that's why I was telling you. Like,
well,
the funniest thing is
it's
that Maude.
Not both. It's just somebody was like, oh, since Maude is trending, I'm going to talk about Maude the TV show.
But it specifically is the series finale anniversary. So it's both, which is wild. So Maude is one of the six women that you could be. Maude has ran out of liquor last week. Big dog might be a wolf. Hiding knives in her corset. Jack London fangirl. Clarissa is, I think, the winner. She's absent in a cordial glass. Singing two words in her window. Having a jolly time. Secretly full of existential dread. So everyone's like, that's me. That's me. I'm Maude.
Okay. Weird
I'm
meme.
I'm Clarissa. Very weird meme. Very weird meme.
Yeah.
Number one trend is influenza musk because Lindsay... That's what random Twitter accounts are saying that Grimes and Elon Musk named their baby.
No.
Influenza Musk.
No, they're not. But they're just making jokes.
I can't see any proof anywhere. I just see a lot of people responding to the news.
Influenza Musk is not funny at all.
It's just people responding to the news and making memes about the news that isn't verified literally anywhere.
Right. It's not verified.
It's nowhere.
Yeah, yeah.
It's nowhere.
Right, yeah.
But the memes, they're good.
The memes are really good. The memes are Influenza Musk, Ebola Musk, and Coronavirus Musk on their way to the Church of Satan. And it's like a video.
But the thing about Elon and Grimes is that even if they were going to name their kid, like, you know, Arthur, if they saw this, they might be like, not a bad idea.
Right.
What if they, like, white it out and put in influenza just to troll people? They're lunatics.
But it's just funny that this information comes from literally nowhere. It's like,
nowhere.
It's just like a joke. It's just a meme, not a joke. It's just spread.
No, it's literally Russians. It's like the Homeland season where the Russians were creating the like bot farm in the secret place outside of Langley. And it's like, they're just planting information. But the misinformation is that Elon Musk and Grimes are naming their kid influenza.
Wait.
And it's tearing our country apart.
Click this Twitter. Click this link.
Did you text me something?
Yeah. Click it.
Sam at Sam Erection.
Please click it. It has 4 retweets and 20 likes. Nice. Click it.
Influenza Musk on its way. Influenza Musk on its way back home after giving birth to itself.
Zoom into that baby. Can you even recognize the baby?
And it's giant baby in a cyber truck. Did you know giant baby is 3 years old?
Right. That's why he's giant, right?
And the baby's name is Gavin.
Yeah, no, I saw all of his TikToks. There's one of him like rolling around the mud. Stop. There's one of him like in a washing machine. His TikToks are good, honestly. They're all him doing things that you'd want the big baby to do.
When the big baby is outside dressed like a normal 3-year-old, yeah. It's like not funny.
Right. Like the thing about this big baby is it's not actually a baby. It's a 3-year-old that is like a little chubby and has a bald head. That's what makes it look like a baby, but it's 3 years old.
When it's in, you know, baby attire, meaning just like bottoms. Naked. And it's like, oh, yeah, okay. Like this looks like a 1-year-old. It's funnier and weirder. That's why it's a giant baby, but it's not technically a baby anymore.
That's what I'm saying. Like the reveal that it's not a baby just means it's like kind of like a baby looking 3-year-old. Because the thing with big baby, giant baby, is that it's really tall.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing about giant baby. It's that it's really tall. Yes, that's the thing about giant baby. It's that it's really tall. The thing about giant baby is that it's giant, Lindsay. It's a giant baby.
I love giant baby. If you guys haven't seen giant baby, search giant baby on Twitter.
The thing about giant baby is that you expect this family to get like ding dong at their front door and it's Vera Farmiga being like, I have some news about your child.
Wait, what would the news be?
It's a grown, that's actually it's a grown an adult. Man. I don't know, like orphan.
It's a grown man. Okay.
Okay. Comments. Welcome to Who's There. Are we? Oh, vibe check. Vibe check. How's your vibe?
Fine. Great. Now that we talked about giant baby, I feel good.
Here's why my vibe is particularly good this morning. Like an abnormally good vibe.
Yeah.
Because yesterday was my birthday and Lindsay sent me pie for my birthday. Aww. And I had a slice of the pie for breakfast, which is my favorite thing to do. Blueberry pie for breakfast.
The pie looks so good. Nice. I almost like took a piece, but then she wrote all the pieces on the cover and I was like, shit.
She was like, inside, one slice of blueberry, one slice of chocolate, one slice of salted honey, one slice of caramel apple.
I was like, well, I can't take one now.
That was my mom's thing growing up. Her like number one favorite troll was when we ever ordered pizza, she would go pick it up.
Yeah.
She would go pick it up and then eat like half a slice in the car, like somehow cut a slice in half. Yeah. And then we'd get home and a half a slice would be gone. And she'd go, oh no, they did it again. Every time. They always do this.
That's pretty
Every
good.
Single
That's
a good time. Shtick. It was a really good bit.
That's a good
It
shtick.
Was a good bit.
We like that.
Okay. You were listening to Who's There, a weekly call-in show where we take your questions, comments, concerns at 619-WHO-THEM. We have a lot of comments this week because you all were on one. You were on several. You were,
oh, my
A lot was happening,
God.
Though.
God.
A lot was happening, though.
Hi, Who Weekly. So, this is mainly for Lindsay, but I'm sure you've seen this by now. But Ansel Watch, I think we can safely say that, it's reached an interesting conclusion. Ansel's pick on Instagram. I don't even have any words to say. I mean, very glad that he's donating to charity and his methods are interesting. And I don't know what to say, but I'm happy that we've heard from him and he's thriving in this time. All right. Me in Greece.
So I just have to pause everything I was doing to call you guys to let you know that Ansel Elgort, whatever his name is doing OnlyFans and posted his whole pubic hair on Instagram, OnlyFans link in bio. No one asked for Baby Driver pubes. No one asked for Goldfinch pubes. Who? Help him. Crunch, crunch.
Question, is it hooey for Ansel Elgort to post news for charity? Crunch, crunch.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. So Ansel Elgort just posted a photo on his Instagram, a nice semi-nude for us all in this quarantine. The caption was OnlyFans link in bio, which is funny because it was actually a post for a GoFundMe for a Brooklyn-based charity, which is nice. But anyway, Ansel Elgort, really think he was supposed to be the next big thing. I would have almost said he was a them recently, but I feel like he's really descending into whodom, especially after that movie flop. This feels like extremely hooey behavior. Should we be worried about him? Is there any way to stop him? Crunch, crunch.
Did you see Ansel Elgort's most recent Instagram? Is he okay?
So I put out the bat signal for Ansel, which you may not have known because both segments got cut and put on the Patreon episode.
Yeah,
so if you wanna hear what you missed me talking about Ansel, he was spotted in LA, but it turned out not to be him, and the Daily Mail had to literally delete the article. If you want to hear more on this, you could go to our Patreon because it's in the last Patreon VIP episode. Both segments, the segment where I thought it was Ansel and the segment where I realized it wasn't Ansel. The point is that I put out the bat signal for Ansel. I was like, where is Ansel? At this time, it feels like he is somebody who would thrive in these times because he loves, you know, to entertain the masses, and he also loves like a good cause. Feels like he would be out here.
I mean, also he loves attention. Oh, he loves attention. True. Is number one.
But okay. He's like a. It feels like a somewhere he would be thriving. The point is that he was missing. I didn't know where he was. He also happens to live in my neighborhood, so I was like, where is he? Not that I see him, but it's just like a thing that I was thinking about. And so not only did he turned up in like the most wonderful way that got everybody talking because he posted a nude that was taken by his famous photographer dad. Meaning,
I cannot, joked about it. Like I joked to Lindsay, I said, LOL, do you think his dad took this?
And I was like,
you
no.
were like, no, his brother. Just joking about why would your family take your too sexy
dad
nude?
Is a famous photographer. So,
I know.
So it kind of, now that I'm like, we know that he took it, I'm kind of think it's fun. Like, it makes sense. It's funny.
Like the dad having to go to just the right angle so that the dick isn't visible, you know?
Apparently it was too sexy. Instagram had him take it down. He had to take it down. So the point is,
what?
He posted this semi-nude, this like getting there nude, and wrote OnlyFans link in bio, which is a funny joke because everybody's...
That's not a semi-nude. He was literally nude.
Okay,
he was just covering up his D with his hand.
Okay, but we didn't see the full D. Oh my God. My point is that he said OnlyFans link in bio. It was a joke. You went to his bio and he was helping to raise money for Brooklyn hospitals, which is like so Ansel to do the kind of like, what do the people want to kind of to lure them in with his little nude and then link them to the hospital. And he ended up deleting the post because of Instagram, I think, but posted an Instagram story a day later that was like, we raised some money, that was good, that was fun, glad you liked my nude, my dad wants me to say that he took the picture, he wants more credit.
So weird that his dad took the picture.
I think it's so funny.
We haven't, you know, one thing that we haven't talked about,
what,
speaking of nudes or not nudes, dick in the time of coronavirus, is the, I don't know, very hooey meme. Sorry, I'm applying moisturizer to my hands. They're really cracking today.
Okay.
The very, very hooey meme, but still very funny, Cockbig 19, because I think maybe Ansel was the original Cockbig 19.
I don't want to talk about Cockbig 19.
Just one of the laziest memes that still delights me every time I see it.
It's not good.
People who post photos of celebrities who are rumored to have big dicks or just...
It doesn't even
celebrities
matter.
With, like, bulges. It doesn't matter. And it's like, so-and-so, Ansel Elgort has tested... Breaking. It's always, like, breaking, all caps. Ansel Elgort has tested positive for Cockbig 19. And it's all over the... Like, when you search for it, the most recent ones right now are some K-pop stars. It's
cock
like, everyone is just getting Cockbig 19.
To happen. Too.
It doesn't rhyme. It's not clever, but it's still extremely funny to me every time I see it.
Because also
breaking.
At first glance, you're like, COVID-19? It's like, no, Cockbig-19.
Some of them, they have receipts, but in some of them, it's just sort of fan fiction. It's just a fantasy land.
Right, yeah. And it fooled me the first time I saw it. I was like, oh no! Yeah. And then I was like, does that say Cockbig-19? Okay, can we move on?
Yeah, okay, we're gonna move on.
Bobby, Lindsay, Neymar is not like famous in Brazil. He's like famous. Like, just because we live in America, we don't know who he is because we believe in American football. He is a them of the thems of the thems. He is like a step below Cristiano Ronaldo and Messi. Never quite got there, but he's very, very themmy and very, very rich.
Hello, Lindsay, Bobby. I was pausing the podcast to call in to add a little bit of color to the Thiago Ramos situation, the guy who's dating Neymar's mother. His TikToks are incredible. But an important detail that kind of highlights his endeavor to get really close to Neymar is that, allegedly, Thiago used to date Neymar's chef, who is a man, so fun. So he met Neymar through the chef that he was dating. So he has now dated Neymar's chef. He's now dating Neymar's mother. And I think a lot of us are really hoping that this ends with him finally getting to date Neymar. Okay, I'm going to continue listening. Crunch, crunch, bye.
Oh, my God. What? Speaking of Vera Farmiga movies, oh, my God.
I know. I know. This is creepier than Norman Bates, whatever that show
it's
was.
So creepy. I know. That's what I was thinking of, too. Bates Motel.
What?
That is creepy.
You also found out or read or it came up and you, we translated
someone
it from
tweeted
Portuguese.
At us.
Yeah, they broke
someone,
up.
Someone, I think a Portuguese hooligan or someone, a hooligan who speaks Portuguese was like, follows a Portuguese news site and was like, sent us this news item that was in Portuguese and was like, the translation of this is that Neymar's mom dumped Thiago because she found out that he's dated men in the past. But the article did not say, like in the translation that I saw, that one of the men he has allegedly dated in the past was Neymar's chef.
Well, that's maybe out.
How did they not know that?
Maybe that's how they figured it out.
I mean, that is,
we could have told you this was not meant to be. I mean, we kind of did in the last episode, which was why that segment was compelling. Because of the end.
So this was actually covered by The Sun a couple weeks ago.
Well, because they covered it in the first place, too.
Neymar's mom's toy boy, 22, dated PSG footballer's personal chef and string of men before hooking up with Nadine, 52. Which is fine, but I guess it wasn't what his mom was, you know, into.
Yeah, maybe she just like didn't know, which is, you know, which happens, too.
There is a, there as you scroll through this story on The Sun, it's just like, photos and photos of hunky dudes where it's like, right. He also allegedly dated this PR consultant. He also allegedly dated this actor and stand-up comic.
Sometimes Ben is back and you just have to say either welcome or, you know.
Sometimes Ben is like, I never left.
I wasn't expecting you here. Yeah. Please come at another time.
I'm sure you've already seen this. Ali Ashokat was spotted biking away from Brad Pitt's house. They're just friends. Crunch, crunch.
Yeah.
They could still be friends.
Okay.
I mean,
come on.
I still don't think that that's like, I think they might be two weirdos. I just, if these were normal people, I'd be like, ooh, they're fucking, if they were my friends. But because they're celebrities, I'm like, celebrities are really weird. I just don't know that I necessarily believe that they're
dating. Okay, so I believe that they could be friends up until this very moment. This moment. I'm sorry. During a pandemic, not really supposed to be going to people's houses, she's spotted biking away from Brad Pitt's house. I just think there's like an intimacy there that is beyond friends who go to art galleries together at this point.
But also, there's the photos. I haven't really read a headline about the photos are funny. She's in like a long coat or something. It
she's
looks
just like
she's
on a stylish
she looks like a secret
bike.
Agent. Yeah,
yeah,
she looks like a secret agent riding one of those bikes that's like
it folds
where the front thing
commuters.
Is too tall. Yeah.
Well, it's like for commuters. It like folds up or whatever. So.
Oh, okay. Fold me up.
Yeah, literally folds up. I'm just like, I'm convinced. I mean,
I think these are two weirdos. If you told me they were fucking, I'd be, if they came out and said, we're fucking, we love each other, I'd be like, or just we're fucking, I'd be like, okay, fine. Like, that doesn't really shock me. But if you also said we're just two weirdos, it wouldn't shock me either. Also, her pants are dirty. Her white pants are like have a big old stain on the knee.
Okay, who cares? The other thing is like I don't think we ever mentioned this, but have you ever seen the video she did for Vice where I don't think you've ever seen it, but she did a video for a Vice series where they make a cartoon out of a story that a celebrity tells about a party. And she tells a story about like hooking up or almost hooking up or hooking up. I forget if they actually hook up with this guy, with this famous person. She's like, he's very famous. Like, but she doesn't say who it is. And he asks her, he was like, asks her to shave and she's like really creeped out about it or whatever. The mm-hmm. point is that he's really, really famous. And I guess people like did a little quote unquote research and kind of found out that it was Joaquin Phoenix, maybe. Like that was oh. the guess. So in my mind, I'm like, Ali Shaka can like bag an A-lister. That's how I'm thinking. And I think Brad Pitt does see himself as like first and foremost a creative, like an artsy guy wearing like a pork pie hat. You know, like he cool. is a creative.
I think that's sort of what's clouding my opinion right now, because Brad Pitt has
he's quarantining with Jennifer Aniston like Star
no,
says.
No, but and I believe rather successfully, he's weirdly changed his image to me as someone who used to be a A-list hunk sex symbol to a sort of weirdo, older, middle-aged loner / struggling artist who's kind of devoid of any horniness. Like Brad Pitt is somehow, like, to me, this almost sexless creature at this point.
He was a stoner guy, then he became an A-list gold boy, right? Then he became a sexualized cheater, then he is a kind of sad dad. But then now is kind of metamorphosizing with the help of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and stuff from that whole minute into cool dad guy, I think kind of a stoner again, artsy guy.
Mm-hmm.
It works for me.
Well, I just think that specifically he doesn't ooze sex appeal the way he once did. And if anything, he doesn't ooze anything. Like there's just like, he's almost asexual at this point. There's an asexual vibe.
But maybe that's why he's less threatening as like a current A-lister, former golden boy A-lister kind of this guy that she could date essentially, that like in real life.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. If they actually were dating, believe it. I know, but even that's a character. Outside of it, he's been so subdued and...
Yeah. Well, he kind of had to because of the accusations.
Hired all those people to write
like
his good speeches.
Right. He's become kind of like daddy, like a funny dad. That's how he has... But then that...
Oh, I sculpt. Yeah.
Okay. We need to
next
move
call.
Hi, Who Weekly. I'm just calling because you're not going to play this call, but I'm an archaeologist. They did chuck bodies into the box. That's how they got there. Howard Carter discovered King Tut's tomb. I haven't finished listening to the rest of the list, but I'm going to guess that you're about to read Sir Flinders Petrie. He's an Egyptian archaeologist. He, like, founded archaeology as a discipline. Look, I'm a female archaeologist, so when people say, like, oh, you're an archaeologist, like Indiana Jones or Laura Croft, that's it. That's all we have. Okay, love you. Bye.
So we got it.
We got that's it. That's all we have.
Who else?
And also you, caller. You're a celebrity in my book. Yeah. We have you. That is pretty fun, though. I mean, if that's it, that's a good selection. That's 100%. That's all wins. That's nothing but wins.
Indiana Jones and this hooligan. That's fine.
That's great to me. Like, there's no canceled archaeologists, you know? Like, oh, you're like,
Not yet.
Okay, next call.
Hi, Lindsay Bobby. First time, medium time. The banana Dunkin' Donuts situation, it's probably not a drive-through considering the places that they're probably going, either Santa Monica or Marina Del Rey. They don't have drive-throughs, but they do have delivery. So they might just be getting it delivered by a DoorDasher or something. Anyway, crunch, crunch. Love you, bye.
Duh, yeah. Everyone gets everything delivered in LA.
Right, yeah, you get your Dunkin' delivered. It's just so funny. It's like, okay, well, I live in LA and I know the exact answer to this. I'm going to call and tell you.
The problem with getting iced coffee delivery is that the ice will have melted by it comes. So you'd have to be like, iced coffee, no ice. And then you put the ice in at your house. That's what I'd have to ask for, which is fine.
I just feel like getting iced coffee delivered to you is very much against the point. That would be a low point for me if I got iced coffee from Dunkin' delivered to me. I want to, but I wouldn't.
Did I tell you I went and got coffee for the first time in 6 weeks yesterday?
What?
Little birthday Java. I walked to the coffee shop and I bought a coffee inside.
Got coffee?
I got coffee.
Wow.
I took it home and drank it. Like I didn't drink it there. I didn't drink it on the walk because I had a mask on.
That is.
But like
surprising
walked
to me
there,
that
got
you
the
did
coffee,
that.
Went home. Yeah, wow. I did it.
Did you go to your place?
I didn't go to my place because a mutual friend of ours texted me and was like, our place, our terrible place, they reopened for takeout. And I was like, oh God, I hate that place, but I might just go anyway.
And you went.
But then she was like, but actually the other place is open down the street and they're doing a really good job with like sanitation and and like whatever.
So you're like, okay,
and I went and it was great. No, I went great.
Wow.
Because the other place that we hate, which I don't want to name because that's rude, is just like sucks. And I feel like I can't even talk about it without it being too many identifiers.
Okay.
The point is I went to the house and I did it. It was really great.
No, that's amazing. That's great. I also got coffee yesterday from a from McDonald's drive through.
The classic McDonald's?
Yeah. Because I was like, it was just like I was driving. I dropped off your gift and I was driving a little bit and I was like, what should I do? Like, I'm in the car. I'm having a good time. What should I do? And then I was like, okay, let's like drive far, but also stop at a drive-thru. That seems like safer.
Yeah.
I don't know, or something. And so I stopped at a McDonald's drive-thru and got an iced coffee. And it was incredible.
That's fun.
Also, Dunkin'. Oh, my God. Well, Dunkin' too. But McDonald's iced coffee is like very good.
Mm-hmm. That used to be my thing. When I was in Austin, my first job out of college, my first job in Austin, I would stop at the McDonald's near my job every morning. Well, I went to the Starbucks every morning. And then the weird thing is, the craziest thing, I probably told you this story before. I went every day to the Starbucks that was inside of Randall's in Austin. Randall's is a really shitty grocery store chain in Austin. I hate Randall's. Randall's sucks. Like, why would you go to Randall's when an H-E-B is right there? Point is, the Randall's has Starbucks inside it. And I went into the Randall's and I would go and I would get a venti hot coffee. It was like $1.90 every single morning. That's it. With room. Because I would add whole milk.
Coffee. I could never. Yeah.
And
this is a Patreon conversation, by the way.
And I went
copy paste into the Patreon.
And it was like, I felt very adult because it was my first job after graduation. And every morning I would do it. And I did it for 2 weeks. And then sometime in the second week, the baristas were like, hi, Bobby. Welcome back. Venti hot coffee with the thing. And I was like.
And you never went back?
And I never went back. I was like, this is too familiar. And I started going to the McDonald's drive through because it felt less.
Okay, but that's literally what they're supposed to. That's like what their job is. I know, but
I wasn't used to it. And I was like a little insecure freak baby. And I was like, this is too close. Oh, no. People are getting intimate. Oh, no. Run away. So I ran away.
Wait, that is one of your funnier stories I've never heard.
That's pretty good. That's an okay story. So I started going to the McDonald's. That was next. But then the whole problem with the McDonald's is that, like, for the first few weeks, I just get the iced coffee every morning, and it was great. And it's like $1.50. Great.
Right.
But then it's McDonald's, great. And then you start adding on a McGriddle, and it's like, oh, I'm going to get a McGriddle on Fridays. But then you're like, I'm going to get a McGriddle on Wednesdays and Fridays. Right. I'm going to get a McGriddle Monday through Friday. And then I was like, I have to stop going to McDonald's every morning.
Right. And now when you go to the airport, you'll wait in a 40-minute line to get, like, cold brew at Starbucks and nowhere else. So
I will, because I want the
tides. The tides have turned.
Next call, Lindsay. We're talking about coffee too long. Why did you let me do this?
This is your fault. Going. You were just.
This
talking.
Is your fault.
Okay. Can you
next call?
Hey, Bobby and Lindsay. Second time, medium time. Had to pause the episode real quick and call you guys. You guys got to put some respect on the Tory Notton's name. You said repeatedly, Adrian Bailon, Keeley, and the other one. Meanwhile, Naturi was on Power. She was in Fame. I think she's released a couple of songs. She's going to be on the spinoff for Power. So, like, you know, give her a shine, man. She's kind of a big deal-ish. So, anyways, me in quarantine.
We were too focused on the Cheetah Girls, yeah.
No, but this is an oversight. And honestly, mm-hmm. this made me and Bobby literally set up a Whodat. So
yeah, which this is set up.
We're promoting our Whodat, which will come out probably next week, the week after next.
Mm-hmm.
The week after next. Yeah.
Can I say my favorite thing about Naturi Naughton's Wikipedia page?
Uh-huh.
Of the two photos, one of them is the main, you know, the lead image. It's her, like just her face. And then there's a photo of her performing. Where is she performing? At the H-E-B Holiday Parade in 2009.
She's a Texas girl. Is she from Texas? No, she's from New Jersey. But that's so nice that she performed at the H-E-B Holiday Parade.
She performed at H-E-B. I love it.
Yeah,
so
I would say Power, though I know it's a popular show. We've totally been over this. It's like a blind spot because I don't watch it. And like any other show that I don't watch, it's one of those things where it's like, I know it's popular. And if you said to me, oh, she's been on Power for 6 years, it's like, oh, she's probably a big deal. I would understand that, but I wouldn't. Yeah. Anyways.
Also, it's stars. It's sort of like there's a category of prestige cable. I think Stars, Showtime, Cinemax, like those cable shows. Like you might be paying more attention to an HBO show.
Oh, than she was on Mad Men. Wait, she was on Mad Men. She played the Playboy bunny that Lane Price hooks
that
up with.
That means nothing to me. I mean, that's like you're talking about
you
Power to me. I never watched
Mad Men. You don't watch fucking. How is that possible that you haven't watched Mad Men? That's like as confusing
too close
to me.
Comfort. The reason I didn't start watching it was that it was literally I was like, I don't need to watch this as well.
She has a pretty, I would say, iconic though short role on Mad Men as a Playboy bunny that is Lane Price's girlfriend. That would mean something to you if you watch Mad Men. I'm just trying to think of something that is like something that I've seen to connect her to my experience. But again, this is why we booked Hoodat because we needed a Hoodat update. Why do you want to learn a new language? Where would you use it and how would it come in handy? This is what I'm asking myself every single day. Even if I'm not planning on going on a trip where I need to use a new language, I'm just like, my brain needs to stay alive. My brain needs to stay active. And there's only so many crossword puzzles I can do in 1 week. And that's why exactly. I just feel like putting my mind to the test would just be using Rosetta Stone to improve my language skills.
And I'm always like idealizing. Oh, I want to learn Francais, so when I go to Francais, I can speak French with the person in
France. You go to Quebec.
But really, I'm speaking on a like dream level, which is also great. Use Rosetta Stone to learn the language of a place you're dreaming of visiting. But also, practically, it makes more sense for me to learn Spanish. And if I'm going to learn Spanish, I'm going to do it on Rosetta Stone.
That's amazing.
They've been the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users, and they have 25 languages offered. You have fast language acquisition because they immerse you in the language. There aren't English translations, so you really learn to speak, you listen, you think in the language with Rosetta Stone, and it has an intuitive process, so you pick up the language naturally. First words, then phrases, then sentences, which means it's designed for long-term retention. And the app has a true accent feature that gives you feedback on your pronunciation, like having a personal trainer for your accent. It's very helpful, okay?
That was good.
Thank you.
It's convenient. There's an amazing value. You can get a lifetime membership and just have every single language, all 25 languages you can have for your lifetime, and you can just work through them as long as you're alive. That's kind of an iconic goal to have. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Who Weekly listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/who. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/who today.
Hey, Lindsay and Bobby, just calling in response to your Kelly Ripa content. I hope that was so funny. Her episode of Broad City is by far my favorite one, as a side. I just wanted to chime in about her and her family and her chewing food. I bumped into her and her family at a resort in Mexico, and she actually approached us and started talking. It was like a very empty resort. She had a margarita with no sugar, so no chewing food, but she did have liquor, which I thought was very cool. But the real funny anecdote about this is my friend's husband asked for a photo, and she was super nice. She took a picture with him. I was just wincing. And then her cute daughter, who's under 20, maybe she was like 17, came over to me and goes, "Do you want one too?" And I just thought, oh my God, to be the daughter of a celebrity of her nature, like, oh God, that would be so weird. I did not take her up on the offer, but if you do look at her, at Kelly Ripa's Instagram from that Mexico vacation, she posted a picture of her family and I am trolling in the background, and that's one of my greatest accomplishments. Good form, Bella Thorne. Bye.
I think I found a photo because it's Kelly Ripa at a resort in Mexico from 3 years ago, and there's her family. Kelly's on it. It's a photo Kelly took of her family. The caller said an empty resort and there are three people on a bench, and I guess that's the caller. Hello, caller.
The reason why I thought this, not because you found the photo, I don't think that's interesting, but like the cuteness of this call is the necessity of the daughter, and actually honestly very nice of the daughter to come up and say, do you want a photo too? Because that is kind of my thing. It's like I wouldn't want to ask for I would never ask for a photo, but I would secretly kind of want one, right? So it's like if not that I'd want one from Kelly Ripa, again, that's not really the person who I'd want to take a photo with, but it is very sweet for Kelly Ripa's daughter to play that role in her life where she's kind of like, this is a thing that is really nice for people and I'm gonna I'm going to recognize the person who maybe doesn't want to ask but definitely wants a photo. And I know my mom is, like, out here. Like, she's basically, like, a standing cardboard figure. She would take a photo with, like, you know, a rock formation. It doesn't matter. Like, you – I will recognize that you maybe want a photo. And she's already here. Like, take the fucking photo. I think that's very sweet. That seems very, like, functional to me.
Yeah. And I think, like, an empty resort seems like a sort of safe space for a celebrity, too.
Definitely.
Because it's like –
you're going to see them again.
You're going to see them again. So you can't make it awkward.
You can't make it
so
weird.
It's like, why not, you know, be nice when I can.
Also, if you choose to go to a public resort, you're rich enough to do, like, a private vacation. If you choose to go to a public resort, it's like – okay, you might have to take a few photos. Again, this is not like... a lot of celebrities willingly take photos nonstop. Like,
a lot of celebrities don't, so...
True, okay.
Yeah, that's nice. Okay, next call. We're going to go into questions now. Questions.
Hi, Who Weekly. Is Gina Gershon a who or a them? Also, I think she's dating the guy from High Maintenance. I'm not really sure. I think so. Maybe you guys can look into it. If so, I love that for them. Okay, bye.
I love that for them.
I love that for them. Is Gina Gershon a who or a them? I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, who?
Who? You're right.
I think she's character actor. I think she's character actor. Yeah, definitely. We've done this before.
She definitely means something to a lot of people, but beyond like a small bubble, she's probably a who. You're right. And so is the High Maintenance guy. Like, who even knows
definitely
his real
a who.
Name?
Everyone calls him the High Maintenance guy, and his most the guy. That's his character's name is the guy.
What's his actual name?
Ben Sinclair.
Oh, I knew that. I did know his name.
When Lindsay was like, Gina Gershon is dating the High Maintenance guy to me in a text last week, I was like, Lindsay, we texted about this a year ago. Many months ago, because of a friend of ours spotted them, or a friend of a friend spotted them, and we were texting about, like, I think Gina Gershon is dating the High Maintenance guy, and we were laughing about it.
Wait, we knew it. God, my memory is shot. We knew it before she posted the photo of him?
Yes. Oh, my God, yes. I thought we talked about it on the podcast.
No, we didn't.
Because it wasn't like they were trying to hide it. They were at a thing publicly and were, like, making out. Right. And someone was like, Lindsay Bobby, Ben Sinclair, and Gina Gershon were making out at this party I was at. That's so
it's
cute.
Definitely a good couple to me.
Sure.
It's a weird match. He is a very, to me, seems like a very horny figure. Feels like this guy is just like going around town being like, hey, hey, hey. And Gina Gershon was like, oh, hi.
If you'd like some potential rationale for his presumed horniness.
Sure.
It's that he co-created High Maintenance with this woman, Katya Blickfield. And they were a couple. They
married,
co-created it. They were married. And then they divorced in 2016.
Right.
Right before season 2 started, you know, production. And then she came out as a lesbian.
Right.
So.
Right. But they're still friends. And they still make the show
together. They're still friends.
There's a lot
but
of
there's
interesting
like,
Brooklyn dynamic going on in this
yes.
relationship.
So it's like, okay, this guy was in a relationship with this woman for many, 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 many years. She's like, I'm actually over this. Like, I think I'm over men in general. Like, I think my true passion is for women. And he was probably like, okay. But they're
fine,
still friendly.
He'll be like, he's like, I'm famous now and I'll be horny. Like, that's fine.
Yeah. But it's funny to pivot to a woman who is in movies, like a sexy woman who plays sexy women who fuck. But also, maybe her most iconic role is for being a lesbian, which is, I think, the funniest irony to this.
Okay, so also funny, he is 35, which I thought he was a little bit older, but it's just the beard. Like, I thought he's 35.
It's a scraggly beard, yeah.
And Gina Gershon, 57. Okay, so what year was she in the sexiest movie that she ever did, Bound?
96.
So that was
she was 34.
That was 24 years ago. Wait, but 35 minus 24. Ben Sinclair was 11.
It's funny.
That's pretty funny. Like, maybe
it's pretty good.
So during her sexiest high point, he was like preteen.
Yes.
So maybe
he went from a woman.
He
went from a woman who was like, I'm straight. I'm in love with you. JK, I think I'm a lesbian. To a woman who was like best known for being a lesbian, who's like, actually, I'm quite straight. That's funny. Like, I don't know what that is, but that's pretty funny. So Gina they're Gershon, dating.
If I had to like explain the type of actress she is right now, she's like the kind of person that Ryan Murphy would cast. You know, she's she's rich for that. And actually speaking, she's either the kind of person that Ryan Murphy would cast or the kind of actress that would end up on Riverdale. And guess what? She's on Riverdale. It's she's a vintage, but very memorable. And the people who know her like have very fond things to think about Gina Gershon. Do you know what I mean? Like so she's on Riverdale. Duh.
This is the good part. Yes, they're dating. Is it all that interesting that they're dating? Sort of. I mean, I guess they like, they're cute. They're a cute couple. They're very New York-y. They party. They're not trying to hide anything. He's on her Instagram. Like they're quarantining together. Great. So we always talk about like doing one more Google, right? Do one more Google, like find the last thing before you finish doing, you know, quote unquote research on these topics that you're doing. So I was like, this is hard to Google. Well, I did one more Twitter search because sometimes Google isn't enough. And especially for these two, because they're not kind of, they're not covered enough.
Right. They're going to be spotted by people, not.
Yes. They're going to be spotted by
tabs.
Exactly what I was going to say. They're just going to be spotted by normal people who are tweeting about them. And sure enough, when you Google, I think the best thing that makes him, that certifiably makes him a who, is that they show up in tweets much more when you search Gina Gershon and high maintenance guy than Gina Gershon and Ben Sinclair.
Sure.
Gina Gershon and Ben Sinclair, very few results. Gina Gershon, high maintenance guy, tons of results.
Right.
People are like, they're dating, I didn't know they're dating. Blah, blah,
blah. Okay, okay, okay.
Okay. I found this tweet, this person, Mary Houlihan, in June of 2019. I based on my quick research, they started dating. They met in the spring of 2019. They started dating in the summer of 2019. It sent me to the final tweet in the thread, and I was like, what? And then I clicked the thread. So it's from this woman. Her Twitter bio is writer, actor, comedian. She's in a production. It's like a parody of Face Off called Cage in the Park. It was written up in the New Yorker. Apparently, it was like really funny and cute. So last summer, she was trying to promote it, apparently. And in her attempt to promote it, her friend or something paid Gina Gershon to do a cameo promoting Cage Off because Gina Gershon was in Face Off. At Real Gina Gershon complaining. I just want you to know what you did wasn't cool at all. My friend ordered a cameo from you and you sent back a video of some guy, not even doing the script. I used to be a big fan, but now I'm torn. And then follows up with this tweet. This is not Gina Gershon. And yet my friend paid at Real Gina Gershon for a cameo. Perhaps not so real at all. And the show is on July 14th. So this person is complaining that she paid Gina Gershon cold hard cash to make a cameo, and Gina Gershon sent back a video of just some random guy. Click the link.
Okay, just want to let you know that Gina Gershon costs $100 on Cameo. That's it's an important bit. Okay, I'm clicking the link. Should I turn on my sound?
Yes.
Hey, New York City. I think you should all go to Shakespearean Face Off. It's an adaptation of Face Off in Shakespearean language, I suppose. It's called Cage in the Park, and it's Sunday, July 11th at Prospect Park at 2 and 5 p.m. Feel free to say that I was in Face Off.
The guy is Ben Sinclair.
So that's so rude because they asked her because she was in Face Off. She was in Face Off, right?
Yes. And then if you click on the next video that I sent, you can tell that she's in the room laughing at him.
Yes, she is.
So she's saying that Ben Sinclair is her and that she's put on Ben Sinclair's face.
Yes. Like, it's a good bit. But the person's like, I paid for her to do this because she was in the movie.
It's really, really funny. And Gina did not respond to this tweet, obviously.
And this person is a comedian. So you would think she would get it. But also I understand why this person is mad because it's like, at face value, LOL, she wanted Gina Gershon, who was in Face Off and recognizable, to do a promo for her show that's based on Face Off.
Mm-hmm.
So she could promote her show that's about Face Off.
That's extremely funny, Mary Houlihan. You didn't even know that you were stumbling upon brand new news that Gina Gershon was dating Ben Sinclair.
She actually might know because she wrote, please provide proof. At Real Gina Gershon has put me through enough as is. I don't want to be lied to.
That's really funny.
And then someone was like, is that the high maintenance guy? I think that's the high maintenance guy.
Yeah. Okay. I thought that was just so great.
Yeah, I think this person does get it, but doesn't get why she did it. In the like, gets that it's funny, but doesn't get why. Maybe she gets it fully. I don't know.
Yeah. I love my Helix mattress. I love my Helix pillow. What else is there to say about Helix? I freaking love it. When I sleep on other beds,
what is there
I
else
get
to
mad.
Say is that I come back to my bed and I'm like, this is the bed. This is the bed. And it's honestly spoiled me for other beds. And I don't like traveling sometimes because I'm like, this is not my bed. Where's my bed?
I want my bed.
It's my special bed. It's my special mattress because it is a mattress that is made for my body.
Mm-hmm. I took the Helix quiz. It told me which Helix mattress to get, and that's the one I got, and that's the one that I love, and that's yes. the one that I will not stop mm-hmm. using because it's the best mattress I've ever slept on. Mm-hmm. The mattress is so good that when we got it, my cat Winston became obsessed with it, and now he's on it all the time, and I'm
no
like,
way.
You have to move because
no
I
way.
Need to sleep on the bed. It's my bed. It's not your bed.
Wow.
He's obsessed with it. It's
wow.
irritating, actually.
Wow.
He likes
okay.
the Helix
rude.
So much.
It's so rude.
Everybody is unique, and I mean everybody, two words, because everyone sleeps differently. Their bodies are different, and that's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. I'm a side sleeper / stomach sleeper. Some people are back sleepers. Some people are exclusively side sleepers. There's a Helix mattress for all of you. Not only is the Helix the best mattress I've ever slept on, the setup was fast and easy. Their mattresses are delivered in a box and straight to your door. You just open it up and it like kind of like blows back up after it comes out of the plastic and you put it on your bed and it's amazing. Plus, Helix mattresses all come with a 10 or 15 year warranty depending on the model. And if you don't want to take our word for it, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/who. That's helixsleep.com/who. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
What happened to Kristen Storm, aka Xenon, girl of the 21st century? Absolutely have to know. Good form, Bell, sorry.
So I was a big Xenon Girl of the 21st Century fan. It hit me at the right time, the right age. It was right when, like, maybe the peak of the Disney Channel original movie, or maybe slightly after the peak or whatever.
For our generation.
For us. Right. It came out in 1999. Oh my God, I was 13. Of course I love this shit. Mm-hmm. And then it also spawned the sequels Xenon the Sequel and Xenon Z3. And you'd think, were all the girls in everyone? Yes, they were in the sequel and they were and mm-hmm. they were also in Z3. This is Kristen Storms and Raymond Simone
of the
famous peanut butter sandwich cackle of recent.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I think this is how Kristen Storms had her little breakout moment past what she was already known for, which was pretty well known, which she's a soap star. So
yeah,
she's
on General Hospital.
She was in Xenon, 21st Century Girl, iconic song. Remember the song from this movie? Did you ever see this movie?
No, I never saw this movie. I never saw this movie. What was the point of Xenon? She was from the 21st century, but like, so what?
She lived in a spaceship. Okay.
So it was like late 21st century.
It's 2049. Xenon is a 13-year-old who lives in a spaceship. She lives in a space station because her parents are like, they work on the spaceship. And she like goes to school on the spaceship with her friends, right? And then
one of whom is Raven Simone.
In trouble. And her parents are like, you have to go live on Earth with your aunt. And she's like, no. But guess what? She falls in love with a guy named Greg. who's played by Gregory Smith of Everwood fame. Remember Gregory Smith? Everwood. He's like a hunk in Everwood. Oh my God. You don't even care. Is there any one of his credits that you would care about? No.
I'm looking at his thing. Hold
Greg
on.
Smith.
Oh, he was in Harriet the Spy.
He
okay,
was like a
but
young
I don't remember
hunk.
That well.
And the centerpiece of Xenon was a band, a space band, okay, called Protozoa.
Okay.
And Protozoa sang a song that was kind of iconic, and it was called, hold on. The point is that it went like zoom, 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 like that. And then mm-hmm. the point of the movie was that she had to get to the concert. So it ended in this like triumphant concert. Okay. God, it's like explaining like the, it's like, okay, great. So,
what? Xenon?
Okay.
Sounds iconic. It sounds iconic.
Oh, his name is Protozoa and the group was called Microbe. Get it? It was all future. It was a future.
I get it. I get it. Oh, we're dealing with microbes right now in our present.
Yeah, truly. Okay, so Kirsten Storms was...
After the movie, she kept acting on television stuff. Then she got a job on Days of Our Lives. Briefly. After which she moved to General Hospital to play the adult version of a character that had been on General Hospital for a really long time, Maxie Jones. Maxie Jones. So we don't talk about soap operas. I know very little about soap operas.
So she did soaps after Xenon, or she did before and after. Okay.
Which is what she still does.
Wow.
A very funny thing about soaps, which I'm coming to learn, and I guess I sort of knew intellectually. Well, it's such a specific niche, and they don't really do much. Well, they're constantly filming. Like, how do they have time to do other things?
You know, specific tabloids that are dedicated to soaps, but I guess they mostly soap opera digest the characters in the soaps as their characters, not as outside. Which is
exactly so. The reason you buy soap tabloids, as far as I know, is to catch up on the stuff so that you can sort of re-enter at any point,
right?
And figure it's sort of like Cliff's Notes or, I don't know, short story versions of what's going on, so that you can figure out why you can, like, figure out what's happening when you watch. Yes.
Yeah.
The lead image on the Wikipedia for Maxie Jones is Kirsten Storms as Maxie Jones. I guess she's the most iconic actor who played Maxie Jones. She was introduced in General Hospital as a child and then now as an adult. Robin Richards, 1993 to 2001, 2002 to 2004. Danica Stewart, 2002, because I guess Robin had to leave for a minute. Kirsten Storms, 2005 to 2011, 2012 to present. And then in that 1 year interim, it was Jen Lilly. Then while she was pregnant, Molly Burnett and others. So it's the best job to have when you need to take a leave of absence or if you have to take paternity or maternity leave, you know, because it's like, oh, God, I'm going to have to be gone for like 6 months.
They're like,
it's fine.
Place you. Don't worry.
They got like ash falling off their cigarette. They're like, we got someone. It's like, don't worry about it.
My question is like, it's so funny to me that soap opera is like part of the meme is that they're so confusing. Like they're just twists and turns. It's hard to keep track of everything. Or maybe it's not. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking that. But it's just funny to change up the actual actors' faces because I would be like, wait, that's not who that was. Just literally one episode ago, but maybe it's a lot easier to follow. Did you ever watch any soaps? Because I watched one for a brief period of time, and I'll tell you which one.
You watched Passions. I knew you watched Passions. I knew this about you. My mom watched soaps sometimes, but the only one she watched, she was very specific, and it was because my parents were a teacher, so they had summer off. So
what'd they watch?
My mom watched. It was funny because my mom only watched All My Children, and only some days, and only some days, and only in the summer. But even as a young kid, I realized that like soap operas don't really require any sort of commitment. Like she only watched it 2 months out of the year, and only some days a week. Like 3 days a week, 2 months out of the year, and she was satisfied.
We've talked about Passions, because Passions like made history. It was the first serial to show two women in bed together, like having sex, essentially, which was like a huge deal. I remember when that happened. And this was in 2005. And then, but the reason why I watched Passions was because it was about a witch with a little doll who talked. And I was like, oh, this is fun. But then the guy who played the doll died, and they had to like write him out, and they did not write him out well.
How did they write him out?
I'll read it to you. Hold on. Well, it was just like, okay. One unfortunate trademark for Passions has been eerie deaths. In 2002, Josh Ryan Evans, who played Tabitha's doll sidekick, Timmy, he was like an iconic character, died while on medical leave, just as scenes were airing where Timmy died in the hospital and went to heaven. Passions had planned to revive the character in a few months while he was a doll, once Evan returned from his own surgery, but instead had to write Timmy out. After 5 years of evil crane patriarch Alistair being heard but never seen, Passions cast a role with longtime daytime veteran David Bailey. Bailey was a hit with the cast as well as the fans, but on Thanksgiving Day 2004, Bailey drowned in a pool just as scenes were airing where various characters tried to kill Alistair, who actually suffered clinical death before being magically revived. Okay, here's the thing.
He drowned?
You can't really say that somebody dying in real life is a coincidence with a like somebody dying on a show that's a soap opera, because people die on soap operas like constantly.
They die and they come back. They die and they come back. Yeah.
Right. Like, it's like saying, like,
we've all seen Soap Dish.
So creepy. Right. Like, that is creepy and that is really sad. But it is funny that they're like, I can't believe, like, this character died when this person died in real life. It's like people on soap operas like are always dying. Like that's literally the thing. They come back to life constantly.
It only ran for, God, this is so funny. It only ran
for 69 years. Yeah.
It only ran for 9 years, but it still had 2,231 episodes. The regular brain is you watching Sopranos during quarantine, and me, it's like, I'm going to watch all of Passions. How many have you watched? Well, I'm only on episode 800, but I feel like it's picking up.
But that's the thing. It's okay. That's so interesting. Soap operas were not even made thinking that anyone in the future would ever binge a full show.
No.
Because the idea that a soap opera show would be like picked up and watched again on streaming is absurd because there's too many episodes. So it's just so interesting that like that wasn't even something that they thought about. They were just like, okay, we're going to be an everyday show and that's our thing. And we're going to assume that no one's ever going to watch these episodes ever again. So we have to make them ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now it's funny because the daytime TV thing is now more talk shows. Like there were daytime talk shows then, but
it's cheaper.
The panel talk show has taken off in terms of like that's where you're going to get your like Poise advertising. So that's diapers
like,
for
you don't
women.
Need like,
but, like you
three
know I mean.
Coked up people like writing scripts all day for this stuff, you know? Like you just need to throw Meghan McCain in a room with
Joy Behar
and like,
be like
open the gates.
Right. And then you can put your ads for like diuretics and like IUDs and
every pharmaceutical company is like,
yes. Latuda. Yes. Oh my God. If I see another Latuda ad, I'm going to lose my mind. And then I maybe need to take Latuda. But I don't
the
know.
The one I hate is Xeljanz just because I feel like that word should not exist.
Xeljanz XR. There's also one that sounds like my name. Have you seen the one that sounds like Lindsay? It's like Lindsay.
It's like Lindsay.
It's like Lindsay. I'm like, what? And then it's like, Lindsay is for like diarrhea. Or
no, it's for IBS. It's for IBS.
Talk to your doctor and say yes to Lindsay. Yes. Linzess treats adults with IBS with constipation or chronic constipation.
It's like, they're like, what is a word that doesn't sound like poopy? Let's work backwards.
And then they make all the, what's the one with the turkey? Chantix? And it's like, Chantix is such a scary drug.
It's for smoking. That's the one where you kill someone, but you also stop smoking.
Well, no, it, like, Chantix, right? The side effects for Chantix are horrific.
Murder.
They're just naming off all of these horrifying side effects while a turkey is literally operating a leaf blower.
Stop Chantix and get help right away if you have changes in behavior or thinking. Aggression, hostility, depressed mood, suicidal thoughts or actions, seizures, new or worse heart or blood vessel problems, sleepwalking, or life-threatening allergic and skin reactions.
Anyways.
Who's in them? People are going to call in who's in thems of TV pharmaceuticals.
Don't you dare. Don't you fucking dare. Anyways, now what is Kristen Storms up to? She's posting coffee memes on our Instagram.
Right, so this is where we're going. I was telling Lindsay because
how did we get here?
Now that we're done talking about Passions and Timmy the talking doll,
living doll. Okay, R.I.P. that guy.
It's so funny to me that like I love when a celebrity is just like, just working and successful and normy, and she's just, you know, she's home. She's a little older than we are. She's got a kid. She's got a good job. She's in quarantine and she loves to knit. And she loves coffee. She loves coffee.
She loves coffee and she's selling clothes.
She's selling
and
clothes.
And she has a podcast.
Well, she doesn't have a podcast. She was just on a podcast.
Oh, she was on a podcast?
She was on the gay podcast because she understands her audience. She understands her audience. I love this meme that she posted.
She's doing
like
Facebook Lives for General Hospital. Incredible.
The most wholesome meme is about yarn. In case nobody told you today, you're beautiful and you deserve unlimited yarn. And this one, which I have.
Wait, that doesn't make any sense.
It's sort of like you as kind, you as smart, you as important, but it's like you as kind, you as important, and you deserve yarn. These are just yarn things, just yarny things.
Just
I don't
yarn
understand.
Things.
Maybe if I
just
knit.
Just yarny things.
Then there's this. Want to hear a joke? Decaf. That's good. Want to hear a joke?
That's the funniest thing you've.
Decaf.
She's been doing the yarn thing for a long time. She's been yarny.
And she loves Harlan Coben. Every time a new Harlan Coben book comes out, she takes a selfie with it, which I find
so
really sweet.
Dad.
Really?
This is nice. You're right. It's like, it's nice to be remembered for, it's nice to be remembered fondly and still working in a niche. So it's like,
yeah.
She has a millennial thing where millennials love her from Xenon. That was like truly a popular thing. It's maybe you didn't watch it, but it was definitely a thing.
I knew about her. She was in
the
ether.
And then she has this like General Hospital work that like never seems to go away.
Will never end.
It seems easy, to be honest. Like, you know.
You show up.
Yeah, maybe it will end though. I feel like soaps are not going to stand the test
of
time.
Well, now during Corona, they're running out of episodes. They're almost like they've reached the end of their bank.
Oh God, I'm like nervous.
Yeah, I mean, every industry. It's every industry. Click beep beep because look, this is proof that she's doing well. Click that where it says beep beep.
Wait, where are you clicking?
At the bottom, between her, underneath her Harlan Coben Instagrams.
Beep, beep. Okay, let me click.
It's proof that she's in a perfect place.
Oh, she's doing promo for FabFitFun.
Yeah, she's doing like FabFitFun box. Great.
Incredible. Nice box.
I like taking the time to point out a child star who is like absolutely okay, as far as we can tell.
Okay, so by now we as a nation have heard about Andie MacDowell breaking and entering into a park in L.A. So I did a little digging. I live in L.A. And I was like, oh, like, I wonder what park she was breaking and entering into. I bet it was Runyon or something like everyone does. And this park is called Debs Regional Park. It's in Montecito Heights, which is like East LA, like near Pasadena. And I was like, oh, that's so weird. Like people, like celebrities especially, do not usually go to the east side of LA because that's pretty far from like Beverly Hills, West Hollywood. And I was like, oh, well, I wonder where Andie MacDowell lives then. In LA, like maybe this is her close park, and if she does live on the east side, that is pretty cool because the east side is like a way cooler part of town than the west side is. So Andie MacDowell does not live on the east side. Andie MacDowell lives in Marina Del Rey, which is right on the beach. Other famous residents of Marina Del Rey include Sheena Shea from Vanderpump Rules. And so basically Andie MacDowell drove 15 to 16 miles conservatively to break and enter into this park, which is utterly fascinating to me. Like, I bet she did it because she didn't think she was going to get caught because this is like an under the radar park. So yeah, TLDR, this is a devious move on Andie MacDowell's part, Crunch.
When you break it down like that.
Is it because her daughters live closer? The daughters would live in a cool part of town, right?
I think so, because if you remember, Margaret Qualley was quarantining, quote-unquote, with that
Kaya.
Crew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, so, these people don't know what quarantine means. One minute she's out with Kaya Gerber, the other minute she's breaking into a park with her mom.
They don't give a fuck about any type of rule. I'm telling you, this is some celebrity bullshit.
I hate it.
They do not care about any rule. And it's not about like shaming Andie MacDowell or like making her feel bad, whatever. It's just like you clearly do not give a shit about anything.
And
right?
I say this as an OG Andie MacDowell stan. That's fucked up.
Yeah, it is. And then to kind of, it's like,
she
got
she lied about
and
it.
Then
according
to
Just Jared, I didn't see this, but according to Just Jared, Andie MacDowell seemingly responds to photos of her crawling under. The photos are extremely funny because she's like, it's maybe 10 inches, 12 inches max that she's crawling underneath this gate that is trying to prevent people from going into the park. And the dog, the tiny little chihuahua, is just there like wants to die. Yeah.
The dog's like, come on.
And there are these funny photos. And so people say it. Andie MacDowell sneaks into this, like breaks into a park to walk her dog with her daughters, Margaret and Rainey Qualley. Then Andie went on her Instagram and said, both my girls are in Montana. They are not in LA. And then I guess people were like, Andie, we have photos of you and your daughters crawling out of this park. And then she deleted the post.
And also literally Rainey is wearing a sweatshirt that says Kaya and has a picture of Kaya Gerber on it. Like a Kaya Gerber merch she's wearing. Very weird. The whole thing is like so twisted, but also just like we wouldn't care unless there are literally like not only don't go to this park, it's closed, and don't encourage people to go. Like the whole point, gotta suck it up and make an example for other people. Mm-hmm. And also the other thing was like to be running around town this side to this side. It's like whatever. The whole thing is frustrating to me.
Yes.
It's annoying.
It's really frustrating, but the photos are extremely funny. And Andy, we loved your video of you self-isolating and being at home and just drinking wine and having a good time.
I know,
you don't have to do
this. That was so recent. And now she's out here breaking into parks against the recommendations and the rules. Whatever.
I think we're gonna call this episode. It's over. We have a really good caller. You're doing amazing, sweetie. Just won this week, but you should listen because it's funny. Really, really good creativity on display on this call. Thank you for listening to Who's There, our weekly call-in podcast. Call in at 619-WHO-THEM if you have questions, comments, and concerns. Support us on patreon.com/WHOWEEKLY if you want twice weekly bonus episodes, sometimes thrice weekly bonus episodes. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. We love those so much. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And we'll see you on Tuesday with another episode of Who Weekly. Bye. Have a good weekend.
Oh, bye. They want to know.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. I was talking to my friend last night and telling him about how Ben Affleck and Ana de Armas are called Banana, and he pointed out that when they break up, the headlines will be Banana Split. Crunch, crunch.